Hare Krishna. Nice to see that all of you are back in time. And so now we will go to the chapter 11. This is a very, very important chapter. Actually, all these chapters are very important. So, read the chapter summary. The symptoms of conditioned and liberated living entities. In this chapter, Lord Sri Krishna describes to Uddhava the difference between conditioned and liberated living entities, the characteristics of a saintly person, and the different aspects of the practice of devotional service. In the previous chapter, Uddhava had presented questions regarding conditioned and liberated souls. Do you remember that? The chapter ended with Uddhava's questions. So, in his replies, the Almighty Lord Sri Krishna states that although the spirit soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on account of his infinitesimal nature, he falls into contact with the material energy, which causes him to accept the covering designations of the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. Thus the soul has been bound up since time immemorial. But when he achieves the shelter of pure devotional service, he becomes designated as eternally liberated. It's a very important point. As soon as he gets the shelter of pure devotional service, then he is considered to be eternally liberated. So which means that even though he may not have achieved the perfection of pure devotional service, but when he accepts pure devotional service, then he is considered to be liberated. In this respect, Srila Prabhupada once stated that everybody in ISKCON is a pure devotee. So devotees were quite surprised and they asked Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, everyone in ISKCON is a pure devotee. The devotees asked Prabhupada, even the new bhaktas and those who have just come to Krishna consciousness, are they all pure devotees? Prabhupada said, yes. It's just a matter of green mango and ripe mango. The mango may be green now, but if it stays in the tree, in course of time, it will become ripe. So what really matters is that one remains in ISKCON, practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. Then in due course of time, he will become purified. Transcendental knowledge is therefore the cause of living entities' liberation, and ignorance is the cause of bondage. Transcendental knowledge is the cause of liberation, and ignorance of the transcendental knowledge is the cause of his bondage. Both the knowledge and ignorance are produced by Maya energy of the Lord, and are his eternal potencies. The living entities who become attracted to the modes of nature are bewildered by false ego. which causes them to see themselves as the enjoyer of misery, confusion, happiness, distress, danger, and so on. In this way, they meditate upon such states of being, although in the real or spiritual world, these things do not exist. Both the jiva, individual soul, and the super soul reside within the same body. The difference between them is that the almighty super soul, being fully cognizant, does not indulge in enjoying the fruits of material work, but remains simply as a witness. Whereas the infinitesimal conditioned jiva, being ignorant, suffers the consequences of his own work. The liberated jiva, in spite of being within a material body, because of the remaining reactions of his past activities, does not become disturbed by the happiness and suffering of the body. He sees such bodily experiences in the same way that a person who has just awakened from a dream sees his dream experiences. On the other hand, although the conditioned living entity is by nature not the enjoyer of the happiness or misery of the body, he imagines himself to be the enjoyer of his bodily experiences. Just as a person in a dream imagines his dream experience to be real. Just as the sun reflected upon water is not actually bound up in the water, and just as the air is not confined to some particular segment of the sky, similarly a detached person takes advantage of his broad outlook on the world to cut off all his doubts with the sword of appropriate renunciation, Yukta Vairagya. Since his life force, senses, mind and intelligence have no tendency to fix themselves on sense objects, he remains liberated even while situated within the material body. Regardless of whether he is harassed or worshipped, he remains equipoised. He is therefore considered liberated even in this life. A liberated person has nothing to do with the piety and sin of this world, but rather sees everything equally. A self-satisfied sage does not praise or condemn anyone. He does not speak uselessly to anyone and does not fix his mind on material things. Rather, he is always merged in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the eyes of fools, he seems to be a speechless, crazy man. Even if someone has studied or even taught all the different Vedic literatures, if he has not developed pure attraction to the service of the Personality of Godhead, he has accomplished nothing beyond his own labor. One should study only those scriptures in which the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his enchanting pastimes, and the nectarian topics of his various incarnations are scientifically discussed. Thus one gains the highest good fortune. However, by studying scriptures other than these, one simply acquires misfortune. With full determination, one should properly understand the identity of the soul and give up false identification with this material body. He may then offer his heart at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of all love, and attain real peace. When the mind is carried away by the three modes of nature, it can no longer meditate properly on the transcendental Supreme Truth. After many lifetimes, faithful persons who have performed Vedic sacrifices for acquiring religiosity, economic development and sense gratification, finally engage in hearing, chanting and constantly thinking of the Supreme Lord's all auspicious pastimes, which purify the entire universe. Such persons then achieve the association of a bona fide spiritual master and the saintly devotees. After that, by the mercy of the spiritual master, they begin to follow the paths set out by the standard authorities of spiritual life, the Mahajans, and become actually perfect in realization of their own true identity. Having heard these instructions from Lord Krishna, Uddhava further desired to understand the characteristics of a factually saintly person and the different aspects of devotional practice. Lord Krishna replied that a real sadhu or a Vaishnava is qualified with the following characteristics. He is merciful, non-envious, always truthful, self-controlled, faultless, magnanimous, gentle, clean, non-possessive, helpful to all, peaceful, dependent on Krishna alone, free from lust, devoid of material endeavor, steady, in control of the six enemies of the mind, moderate in eating, never bewildered, always respectful to others, never desirous of respect for himself, sober, compassionate, friendly, poetic, expert and silent. The principal characteristics of a sadhu, the principal characteristic of a sadhu is that he takes shelter of Krishna alone. One who engages exclusively in Krishna's service and understands him as the limitless indwelling Lord who comprises eternity, knowledge and bliss, is the topmost devotee. The practice of devotional service includes 64 kinds of activities. Among these are one to seek, seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, glorifying, offering obeisances to the deity. Anyway, this way it describes that. And after this, the process of worshipping the deity of the Supreme Lord is described in brief. So now that we understood the symptom, so the symptoms or the symptoms of conditioned and liberated living entity that is being described in this chapter. Just what did you understand from this? Who is conditioned? One who is materially attached. Materially attached means one who identifies himself with this body. He is conditioned. And one who has been situated in pure knowledge, the knowledge about the spiritual reality, the knowledge about his identity being spirit soul, and the knowledge that the spirit soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a liberated soul. So these are the basic differences between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. So Krishna then mentioned about, so as I mentioned, so let me see. So you can see the summary of this chapter is quite big. That actually indicates the importance of this chapter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, due to the influence of the material modes of nature, which are under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated." Important point to note. The soul is never bound up or liberated. "And since I am the Supreme Lord of Maya, which is the cause of the modes of nature, I also am never to be considered liberated or bound. Just as a dream is merely a creation of one's intelligence but has no actual substance, similarly, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of my illusory energy. So all this is a product of Krishna's illusory energy. It is due to his illusory energy that we are identifying ourselves in this way. You can go back to the creation. How did it all happen? Krishna looked at material nature, Maya. And as a result of that, material nature became active. As a result of that, living entities, those who wanted to enjoy other than Krishna, outside of Krishna, they came into the material nature. And because they wanted to enjoy without Krishna, which is never to be, which can never actually happen. One cannot enjoy without Krishna. Therefore it is unreal. Therefore an unreal reality was created. And this unreal reality is this material nature where a living entity gets a body fitting to this atmosphere. And with this body he tries to become the Lord and Master. With this body he tries to enjoy without Krishna. With this body he actually tries to become Krishna in his own way. In this respect we can consider that we often give the example of fish out of water, right? Have you seen a fish out of water? So you can see the fish is writhing and praying in pain. He is so suffering so much. You can see as soon as it comes out of the water, it's just jumping. Not jumping, it's writhing actually. Sometimes I use the word writhing and I see the translation is written as writhing, R-I-D-I-N-G. Write, R-Y-T-H. What is the meaning of the word write? Write. To feel acute pain. When one is... when one sort of goes through this difficult physical condition, that is to ride. So the translators or the transcribers can take note of that. It's not R-I-D-I-N-G, but R-Y-T-H-I-N-G. Anyway, so the fish, is in that condition when he is taken out of the water. Our condition is also somewhat like that. We are spiritual beings, we have fallen into this material nature. So we can well imagine what our condition should be. But is it like that? Are we really riding in pain? Or we are endeavoring to enjoy? Now why is that? That is because now you consider the fish is taken out of the water and brought to the land. Why he is writhing in pain? Because he can't breathe. He can't do anything that he naturally needs to do. Like a fish belongs to water. So he can breathe easily in water. He can move easily in water. Now you consider, now fish came out of the water and the fish, Mr. Fish, is given an apparatus through which he can breathe, through which it can move, through which it can act. Then what will Mr. Fish do? Mr. Fish will think, oh, nice place, so many nice things. Let me try to enjoy. So he tries to enjoy. But through what? Through this apparatus that has been given to him. He is not in the fish body anymore. He has got a body fit befitting to the land. And he is trying to enjoy in the land. Can the fish ever enjoy in the land? Although he has a body appropriate to the condition of the land, but he cannot enjoy. Because he is a fish. His enjoyment is in water. Similarly, our condition is like that. We are spirit souls. Our enjoyment is spiritual. But you got this body, which is perfectly adjusted to this condition. And we are trying to enjoy. We are endeavoring to enjoy. But no matter how much we try to enjoy, it doesn't satisfy us. Because whatever is happening is on the bodily platform. The soul is discontent. Soul is not content. So that is the arrangement of Krishna with his illusory energy. Krishna with his illusory energy has created this arrangement. The souls have, first of all, he created this material nature. He arranged for the souls to come here. He arranged for the souls to get an appropriate body according to their desire. And now the souls are free to act. The souls are free to act, but Krishna has one autopilot arranged. What is that autopilot? Guna and karma. Guna and karma is actually controlling everybody. So you act, immediate reaction. And now, mister, you are liable to the reaction. And it goes on and on and on. So that is the cause of our bondage in this material nature. So that's why material existence does not have any essential reality. It is a reflected reality because it's Krishna's arrangement. It's a reality. Krishna made the arrangement. And the purpose of this arrangement is to teach the living entities to desire to get out of this material nature. Then Krishna is saying that but actually the jiva is a part and parcel of Krishna. A living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. But due to his ignorance, he is suffering in the material bondage since time immemorial. However, by knowledge, he can become liberated. And what is that knowledge that liberates us from this suffering, miserable condition? That knowledge is Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? We use the expression quite frequently. But Krishna consciousness ultimately means what? Identity of a living entity, awareness of the real identity of a jiva, the relationship or the purpose, the reason of a living entity's being in the material nature, the knowledge about the spiritual reality, and knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the knowledge about the relationship between the jiva and Krishna. Three considerations: jiva, Prakriti, and Ishvara. The relationship between these three. Jiva, the living entity. Prakriti is the material nature. And the Supreme Personality of God. The relationship between jiva and Prakriti, relationship between Krishna and Prakriti, the relationship between jiva and Krishna. So that is the real knowledge. So you got the real knowledge? Let's hear. Let's test it. What is your knowledge about yourself? How many of you want to answer this question? Okay. What is your? But the first consideration is the soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. That's why you are eternal servant of Krishna. Why are you eternal servant of Krishna? First identity is you are a spirit soul. You are an infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna. And material nature, who wants to answer this question? Archana? Material nature is? Material nature is the illusory energy of Krishna. Material nature is the illusory energy of Krishna, where the living entity has been projected, sent, so that they can try to enjoy it. Independent of Krishna. Can anybody enjoy in the spiritual sky without Krishna? Can anyone exist in the spiritual sky without Krishna? No, spiritual sky means Krishna is the center. So that is the spiritual reality, where Krishna is the center. So how can you exist there without Krishna? But here we have an opportunity to exist without Krishna. And enjoy without Krishna. But what is the consequence? What is the result of that? The result of that is suffering. We try to enjoy, but we get suffering. How many of you think that trying to enjoy in the material nature leads us to suffering? Very good. And how many of you think that maybe there is some enjoyment in the material nature? So should I think that those who didn't raise the hand, that is their conclusion? Then Krishna describes about two birds in a tree. This analogy we all know, right? What is this tree here? The body. And who are these two birds? Yeah, the super soul and spirit soul. So one of these birds are eating the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is simply watching the fruit eating bird. So who is eating the trees, the fruits of the trees? The spirit soul. And who is watching? Super soul. Very good. Then Krishna is saying, one who is enlightened in self-realization, one who is enlightened in self-realization, although living within the material body, sees himself as transcendental to the body. So what is the symptom of enlightenment? The symptom of enlightenment is to realize that he is transcendental to the body. Although he is in the body, although he is subjected to the body's needs, but actually he is transcendental to the body. There is no need to artificially claim something. But this is a matter of being aware, knowledge. We know. We may not be able to act in that way, but at least we know. Like we may say that I am not this body, but when there is some pain in the stomach, we don't say that my body is feeling the pain. I say I am feeling pain. Right? When the stomach is hungry, what do we say? I am hungry. When it is very cold, what do we say? I am cold. And so forth. So we may be subjected to the body because we have the body. By Krishna's arrangement, we have the body. So we cannot really... We cannot really reject this body or reject our existence in the body. But the thing is, as we mentioned earlier, the body will go through its phase by nature's arrangement. There was a time when we were born, how was our connection with the body? When you are just born, hardly we had any connection to the body. Right? The soul and body were not really, the soul didn't really know that, we didn't really know that we had a body. But then we started to develop our attachment to the body, our cognition to the body. Then, in the prime of our youth, the soul and body are in perfect harmony. So much so that the soul is thinking, I am this body. I am really this body. But then gradually, we start to grow old. And when you grow old, then the connection, the link between the soul and the body begin to diminish. And then, as we grow older and older, it gradually diminishes, and then comes a time when the soul and the body has a very little link with each other. Or the soul has very little link with the body. And then, gone. Soul is now separated from the body. When? When? At the time of birth? At the time of death. So see, nature actually created such a wonderful arrangement. We have become bound by the body, it's true. But eventually, we will become free from the bondage of the body by nature's arrangement. So when the time comes to become free from the bondage of the body, is it a time to lament or is it the time to rejoice? How many of you are in favor of lamentation? How many of you are in favor of rejoicing? Very good. So in a way it's like this. Say, this is the soul, this is the body. At the time of birth, they're like this. And then what happens? the attachment grows. At the prime of youth, the body and soul are imperfectly united. But then, what happens? And at the time of death, it's again like this. Just as when you're born. And then, the soul leaves the body and goes. Then where does this soul go? Right. This soul goes back to Godhead. So this is what spiritual life is awarding us. Therefore, time and time again, I remind you all, don't be afraid of getting old. Don't be afraid of getting old. I am reminding you because I am getting old. And I am trying not to get afraid of getting old. So, this is actually Krishna's divine arrangement through Mother Nature. We should always remember that Maya is not our enemy. Maya is our friend. Maya is our guide. Like the mother, she is guiding us. So when the child acts nicely, the mother is very happy and helps the child. And when the child acts in a wrong way, mother gives a slap. So when we get the slap, we must understand that we are doing something wrong, that mother is slapping us. But when we become Krishna conscious, then she'll be so happy with us. She is so happy with us. And she will help us to progress in our spiritual life. She'll help us, mother will help us to go back to our father. So Krishna is reminding again, an enlightened person, the symptom of an enlightened person, an enlightened person who is free from the contamination of material desire does not consider himself to be the performer of the bodily activities. Performer of bodily activities. Rather, he knows that in all such activities it is only the senses born of the modes of nature that are contacting sense objects, born of the same modes of nature. It is simply due to senses interaction with the material nature. It is the body's function. You see, body's consciousness is through the senses. There are so many doctors here, I'm sure they will agree with this consideration, that this body is a network of nervous system. It's a network of nervous system. And where all the nerves are ending, all the nerves are ending in one of the senses. All the nerves are ending in the five senses. Sunil Mohan, are you in agreement with me? All the nerves are ending in the senses. And the senses are perceiving things of the material nature according to its interaction with them. That also has been very nicely explained. The interaction takes place the eyes interacts with fire and the form is produced. Ears interacts with ether, sound is produced. Skin interacts with air, touch is produced. Tongue interacts with water, taste is produced. Nose interacts with earth, smell is produced. So these are the five sense perceptions. All our perceptions are limited to these five, isn't it? Seeing, hearing, touching, tasting and smelling. So now let us consider the senses are sometimes active and sometimes not. When the senses are active, when the consciousness flows through the senses are active. When we fall asleep, then are the senses active? No. Why not? Because then the consciousness is not flowing through the senses. Or when we are under anesthetics, then do we register anything? Even if the body is cut, the heart is taken out of the body, they do all kinds of things nowadays. Can you imagine your chest, your ribs are cut open, and the heart is taken out? In normal condition, one just dies straight away. But under anesthetics, one doesn't feel anything. Why? What does the anesthetics do? What does the anesthetics do? It simply stops the flow of consciousness through the nervous system. It numbs the nervous system. And because the nerves are numbed, because the consciousness is not flowing through the senses, it doesn't register anything. So now you tell me, what causes the body consciousness? What causes the body consciousness? The body consciousness is due to the sense perception, due to the projection of consciousness through the senses and interaction between the senses and the objects of the senses. But mind you, spirit soul is not really affected by the senses and the perception. Is the flow of consciousness that is affected? Is the flow of consciousness? The spirit soul is separate. But when the spirit, when the consciousness flows that way, and the spirit soul identifies the experiences of the consciousness through the false ego, wrong designation, thinking that I am this body. That's why all this is happening. Just as one who is dreaming sees himself as situated in an imaginary body. At the time of dream, are you in a real body? We are dreaming. I am dreaming, right? I am, but am I in this body or am I in some other body? It is another body. Of course, my body, it's a subtle body. But we create all kinds of bodies. Like for example, when you dream that you have become a king, so what is your body? Are you in the same body? No. Now you become a king's body. You got a king's body. Sometimes you dream flying. You are flying. Sometimes you dream that you are flying. Are you? In which body you are flying? Is the same body flying? No. It's another body that's flying. The body that is capable of flying. (Clears So, a self-realized soul is completely detached from the material body and the material world around it. A self-realized soul is the one who is detached from his body and the world around him. He is like a person who has awakened and arisen from a dream. With expert vision, sharpened by detachment, the self-realized soul cuts all the doubts to pieces through knowledge of the self and completely withdraws his consciousness from the expansion of material variety. So what does a self-realized soul do? He withdraws himself. He withdraws his consciousness from the expansion of material variety. This is a very important point also. A person is considered to be completely liberated from the gross and subtle material body. So everybody is aware of these two types of material bodies. How many types of material bodies we have? Two. Gross body, this body, subtle body made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. So, when he is completely free from the gross and material bodies, when all the functions of his vital energy means life force, senses, mind and intelligence are performed without material desire. Here all his activities of his senses, mind and intelligence are without material desire. Such a person, although situated within the body, is not entangled. Okay, this needs some explanation or elaboration. You see, at the time of death, we become free from the gross body. Is it clear? At the time of death, we are free from the gross body. Then why are we still bound? Sometimes people make a mistake that, oh, after death we'll go back to God. They say things like that. Or we'll go back to heaven. But no, there is no guarantee that after death you'll go back to the spiritual world. Because unless and until the subtle body is free from material bondage, you cannot go. You cannot get out of the material nature. The subtle body carries the soul after death to the next body. Next body in the sense, according to the subtle body, Mother Nature will award us an appropriate body. According to the subtle body shape. So it is not that after death we are all going to become liberated. As long as we have the subtle body. Now the question is, at the time of death the gross body dies, then when does the subtle body die? When does the subtle body die? Subtle body doesn't die. But the subtle body can become transformed. Subtle body can be transformed. What constitutes the subtle body? Very good. Subtle body is comprised of mind, intelligence and false ego. Okay, what is the activity of the mind? To think. But so when with the mind we think about Krishna, then the subtle body becomes spiritualized. When with our intelligence we consider how we are going to serve Krishna, then thus intelligence becomes spiritualized. And in this way, when you become engaged in serving Krishna, then what happens to the false ego? False ego becomes Krishna's servant. Our identity loses its falsity and becomes situated in its real identity. By thinking about Krishna, by being engaged in devotional service to Krishna, and by becoming a humble servant of Krishna, our mind, intelligence and false ego are spiritualized or transformed into spiritual shape. It becomes spiritualized, not some spiritual shape, that was the wrong expression also. It becomes spiritualized. So then is there any mind, intelligence and false ego? No. Then it is the pure spirit soul within the gross material body. As Krishna is saying here, although situated within the body is not entangled. Although situated within the body, he is liberated. So that stage is called Jivan Mukta stage. Jivan Mukta. Iha jasya harir dasye karmana manusha gira nikilashyati avasthasu jivan muktasa uchyate. So in that stage he is, although living in this body, he is liberated. Jivan mukta. Or this is called sarup siddhi. This state. Sarup siddhi is situated in his Swarup, is situated in his spiritual identity. So then what happens? He has the gross material body, but inside this gross material body there is a pure spirit soul. Now at that stage, is this body material? Although you are saying gross material body, at this stage, is it a material body? What's your take on this? Very good, spiritualized. How? How it is spiritualized? It's spiritualized in the sense, like, do you remember the example that Prabhupada often gave? Iron and fire. So when the iron becomes red hot in contact with the fire, is it iron or fire? Very good. So this apparently gross material body in contact with the pure spirit soul, is it material or spiritual? Therefore, a pure devotee's body is considered to be spiritualized, spiritual body. Although apparently material, but it is spiritual. And then when he leaves the body, he goes back to spiritual sky. Because he is already liberated. So that stage is called Vastu Siddhi. Vastu, or the substance that he is, he actually attains that stage and goes back. So in this way, a self-realized soul is completely detached from the material body. Now one important thing to know is that, can you imagine reading this scripture without understanding the secret of pure devotional service? Will you understand anything? It'll just be words. And that's why people, those who write about Bhagavad Gita without becoming a devotee, they can't really convey any real sense, real meaning. But when you see it in the light of devotional service, everything becomes crystal clear. Even the children can understand. So, here quite a few children so attentively listening to the class. Sulakshana, you understanding? Yes? See, even a child can understand. I asked her because she is the youngest. Now this is the point that comes after that, actually, what I just mentioned. If through meticulous study one becomes expert in reading Vedic literature, but makes no endeavor to fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's endeavor is certainly like that of a man who works very hard to take care of a cow that gives no milk. Meaning, that endeavor is completely useless. So studying the Vedic literatures without devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just a waste of time. On the other hand, when you look at these Vedic scriptures in the light of devotional service, then everything becomes so meaningful. Everything becomes crystal clear. Krishna is further confirming that point. My dear Uddhava, an intelligent person should never take to literatures that do not contain descriptions of my activities which purify the whole universe. So a devotee is not interested in any literatures that doesn't describe the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Among all my pastimes, incarnations, the most beloved are Krishna Balaram. And so-called knowledge that does not recognize these activities of mine is simply barren and is not acceptable to those who are actually intelligent. Coming to this conclusion of all knowledge, one should give up the false conception of material variety that one imposes upon the soul and thus sees one's material existence. The mind should be fixed on me, since I am all-pervading. And then Krishna is saying, if you are not able to fix your mind on me, then become engaged in serving me. Actually, easier way is to serve than meditate. If you can meditate, well and good, if you are that expert. But the reward actually will not be that wonderful. You know, those who meditate on Krishna, what kind of spiritual identity they get? One who meditates upon Krishna, they become trees in Vrindavan. Why? Because they didn't serve Krishna. They want to think about Krishna, so okay, fine. Become a tree, stand in one place and just meditate on me, and at the most you'll get to see my activities. Therefore, service is better than meditation. Active service is better than meditation. So those who are actively involved in serving Krishna, what kind of reward they will get? They will go to the spiritual sky, and according to their service attitude, they will get their situation. Those who are serving Krishna in the mood of servitorship, they will become servants of Krishna. Those who have been serving Krishna as a friend, they will get the situation of a friend. Those who are serving Krishna as a father and mother, they'll get a situation accordingly. And those who are serving Krishna as their lovers, they'll get an situation according to that. My dear Uddhava, narrations of my pastimes and qualities are all auspicious and purify the entire universe. A faithful person who constantly hears, glorifies and remembers such transcendental activities, who through dramatic performances relives my pastimes, beginning with my appearance, and who takes full shelter of me, dedicating his religious, sensual and occupational activities are mine, for my satisfaction, certainly obtain unflinching devotional service to me. So, see, the activities will lead us to a situation where Krishna will reward us accordingly. Jejatha maṁ kapaddante tāṁ sthathaiva bhajam maṁ. So what are those activities? Narrate, speak about Krishna's pastimes, speak about Krishna's qualities. And they are so powerful, so potent, that they purify everything, including the dirty mind of a person. No matter how degraded one is, by hearing about Krishna's wonderful activities and pastimes and qualities, became devotees of Krishna, became purified. I mean, we can consider our situation, how dirty our condition was, but just by hearing Srila Prabhupada's instructions, somehow we became somewhat purified. And a person who faithfully hears about Krishna and remembers his transcendental activity. And the third thing is, one is one who speaks about Krishna, those who hear about Krishna, and those who enact Krishna's pastimes, they also. That is even more potent, because that is living in Krishna's pastimes. Through dramatic performances, and who take full shelter of me, dedicating his religious, sensual and occupational activities for my satisfaction, certainly obtain unflinching devotion to me. Now, how does one achieve that good fortune of becoming inspired to hear about Krishna, speak about Krishna, serve Krishna? How? The secret is association of devotees of Krishna. It is only through the devotees' association that we can become devotees, not otherwise. Therefore, always make it a point to associate with the devotees. don't ever think that the devotees association is not important. I am good enough. I don't need anyone's association. On the other hand, even if it is not pleasant, stick to the devotee association. One who has obtained pure devotional service by association with my devotees always engage in worshipping me. Thus, they very easily go to my abode, which is revealed by my pure devotee. Again, this abode of Krishna is revealed by Krishna's pure devotee. Then Uddhava asked Krishna a question. My Lord, what type of person do you consider to be a true devotee? And what type of devotional service is approved by great devotees as worthy of being offered to your Lordship? My dear ruler of the universe, O Lord of Vaikuntha and Almighty God of the universe, I am your devotee, and because I love you, I have no other shelter than you. Therefore, please explain this to me. My Lord, as the absolute truth, you are transcendental to material nature. And like the sky, you are never entangled by any way. You are never entangled in any way. Still, being controlled by your devotee's love, you accept many different forms, incarnating according to your devotee's desire. So here we can see Krishna actually incarnates due to his devotee's desire. Therefore, paritranaya sadhunam is the main purpose. Vinashaya duskritam is the secondary cause, secondary purpose. Then Krishna said, what did Krishna say? I'll just read the whole thing. It is, these are four shlokas together, four texts together. 29, 30, 31, 32. O Uddhava, a saintly person is merciful and never injures others. Even if others are aggressive, he is tolerant and forgiving towards all living entities. His strength and meaning in life comes from the truth itself. He is free from all envy and jealousy, and his mind is equal in material happiness and distress. Thus he dedicates his time to work for the welfare of all others. His intelligence is never bewildered by material desire, and he has controlled his senses. His behavior is always pleasing, never harsh, and always exemplary, and he is free from possessiveness. He never endeavors in ordinary worldly activities, and he strictly controls his eating. He therefore always remains peaceful and steady. A saintly person is thoughtful and accepts me as his only shelter. Such a person is very cautious in the execution of his duties and is never subject to superficial transformation because he is steady and noble. Even in a distressing situation, he has conquered over the six material qualities, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. He is free from all desire for prestige and offers honor to others. He is expert in reviving the Krishna consciousness of others and therefore never cheats anyone. Rather, he is well-wishing friend to all, being most merciful. Such a saintly person must be considered the most learned of men. (Clears throat) He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possess favorable qualities that purify the performer, and he knows that neglect of such duties constitutes a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter of me, my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worship me alone. So this, following the scriptures, the regulated activities is needed in order to come to the platform of unalloyed love for Krishna. But when that unalloyed love is achieved, then they are rejected. One can reject. But Prabhupada said, but still one keeps on practicing that in order to cite the right example. Because jagjad acharat is shreshtha. The way a great man acts, common man follows him. So that for the sake of other devotees' benefit, for the sake of motivating them in Krishna consciousness, they act in such a way. Then Krishna makes a very important point. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. So point is, a devotee may not even know Krishna, what he is, who he is. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be my best devotees. The example is, so many examples. One example that I thought of is the illiterate Brahmin in South India. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling there, he couldn't read, but he was holding the Bhagavad Gita. But he was displaying such emotion. Tears were flowing from his eyes. And common people are thinking that he was just pretending. They knew that he is illiterate. He can't read. He's holding the Bhagavad Gita, he can't read. But tears are flowing from his eyes. They're laughing at him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that what happened? How come you're feeling such emotion while holding the Bhagavad Gita? And he admitted, see, I am illiterate. I can't read. But my guru told me to try to read Bhagavad Gita. So I just hold the Bhagavad Gita, and whenever I hold the Bhagavad Gita, I just see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking to Arjuna. And just that sight causes such emotion that I can't control my tears. My Lord is so merciful that He comes down to impart the knowledge for our benefit. So here you see, he is illiterate. He doesn't know who Krishna is, what Krishna does, where Krishna lives. But because he has developed his love for Him, Krishna considers him to be the best of devotees. My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional service. This is also important. How can we get rid of our pride and prestige? In the material nature, in our material condition, it is so unavoidable. So Krishna is saying, one may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my form as the deity and to my pure devotees. That is how one becomes free from his material contamination. One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities. Hear with love and faith the narrations of my glories and constantly meditate on me. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accepting oneself as my eternal servant, one should give oneself completely to me. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life. By participating in festivals such as Janmashtami, which glorify my pastimes, in my temple one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments and discussing me with other Vaishnavas. So these are the ways to purify ourselves. Perform Janmashtami. Perform, celebrate different festivals in the temple. When you come to the temple, participate in chanting and dancing, playing instruments, playing musical instruments, and discussing with other Vaishnavas. One should observe all the regularly celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimage and making offerings. One should also observe religious vows such as Ekadashi and take initiation by the procedures mentioned in the Vedas, Pancharatra and others. Other similar literatures. One should faithfully and lovingly support the installation of my deity, and individually or in cooperation with others, one should work for the construction of Krishna conscious temples. Mind you, not only temples, Krishna is saying cities. Constructing Krishna conscious temples, cities, as well as flower gardens, fruit gardens and special areas to celebrate my pastimes. So someday we have to build the cities with Krishna in the center. One should consider oneself to be my humble servant without duplicity, and thus should help to clean the temple, which is my home. First one should sweep and dust thoroughly, and then one should further cleanse with water and cow dung. Having dried the temple, one should sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with mandalas. One should thus act just like my servant. So make it a point to do that. When you go to the temple, sweep the temple first. Then sprinkle water and wipe the temple with cow dung, and then sprinkle perfumed substance. Sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with mandalas. A devotee should never advertise his devotional activities. Therefore his service will not be caused. Therefore his service will not be the cause of false pride. One should never use lamps that are offered to me for other purposes simply because there is need of illumination. Similarly, one should never offer to me anything that has been offered to or used by others. Don't offer anything to Krishna that has been used by others. Whatever is most desired by one within this material world and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that very thing to me. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. Now you think what you are most attached to, and make it a point to offer it to Krishna. You don't have to tell us, just think about it. And that will please Krishna so much. Then he is saying, Krishna is saying that one should also worship him. In the sun, fire, brahmanas, cows, Vaishnavas, sky, wind, water, earth, individual soul, and all living entities. How? Naturally, the next question, how? One should worship me within the sun by chanting selected Vedic mantras and by performing worship and offering obeisances. One may worship me within fire by offering oblations of ghee. And one may worship me among the brahmanas by respectfully receiving them as guests, even when uninvited. I can be worshipped within the cows by offering of grass and other suitable grains and paraphernalia for the pleasure and health of the cows. And one may worship me within the Vaishnavas by offering loving friendship to them and honoring them in all respects. Through steady meditation, I am worshipped within the inner space of the heart. So how should we worship Krishna in the heart? Through steady meditation. That is, reflecting that Krishna is situated there. Meditating that Krishna is there within the heart. Within the air, I can be worshipped by knowledge that prana, the life air, is the chief among elements. Of all the airs, which is the most important? Prana. I am worshipped within water by offerings of water itself. How do we worship Krishna in water? By offering water. We go to Ganga, take the water and offer it to Krishna. Idam Krishnaya Namama. Along with other elements such as flowers and tulasi leaves. And one may worship me within the earth by proper application of confidential seed mantras. One may worship me within the individual living entity by offering food and other enjoyable substances. And one may worship me within all living entities by seeing the super soul within all of them, thus maintaining equal vision. And one who has executed 6 sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me. By the excellent qualities of his service, such a worshipper obtains realized knowledge of me. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. So this is how almost this is the important part of the 11th chapter. So how does Uddhava Gita sound? Isn't it wonderful? That the knowledge of pure devotional service has been so wonderfully presented here. Actually, this is the real knowledge. This is what really matters. So please become pure devotees of Krishna. Thank you. Does anybody have any question? Ramananda? Well, it is not new. You see, everything is in Prabhupada's books. It's just a matter of understanding it. Did Prabhupada speak of five mellows? And what are those five mellows? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhu. Now, out of those five, Prabhupada actually considered four are in pure devotional service. Shantaras hasn't been because there is no service, there is no active reciprocation. So devotees are not interested in meditation. Yogis are interested in meditation. Now there are four different active mellows. Now we will find that we have our natural propensity. You know, we serve in Dasyaras. We keep serving in Dasyaras. That is our natural way. We start off with Dasyaras. It's not that we should imagine, I serve Krishna in friendship or conjugal and so forth. That will happen automatically. And it has also been pointed out that we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasyaras. And as a result of that, we get elevation to Vrindavan in Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhur.
But we have how we serve in the temple and how we do in Dasyaras, so that influence which identity will get or
less. You see, that will happen by Krishna's mercy. You know, that is not something that will happen in the preliminary sadhana bhakti stage. And that will happen in the siddha state. Say for example, that when we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan will manifest in our hearts. And accordingly we'll develop some attachment to one of the associates of Krishna. And accordingly our actual identity, Swarup, will become revealed. It will happen naturally. Therefore, there is no need to artificially try to do something. That is what the Sahajiyas do. You know, they are in an imperfect stage already. They are in, you know, mundane situation. But they are imitating. They think that by imitating these activities, they will be elevated to spiritual sky. Especially Vrindavan. You know, there is one cult of Sahajiyas, Upper Sampradaya. They dress like a woman. Men, but they wear sari because they think that they are gopis in Vrindavan. Now, by this artificial means, will it happen? No. Nityananda Prabhu made it very clear when he is instructing Jiva Goswami By Dasaras you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as a result of that your access to Vrindavan will become available. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur also said the same thing. Jatha jatha gaura padara vinde vindeka bhuktin krita punya rasi tatha tathus sarpati hridi akashmat radha padam bhoja sudham bharashi. As one develops his attachment to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu due to his heaps of pious activities, all of a sudden he'll find that his heart has become inundated with the nectar emanating from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. See, service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet will inundate our hearts with the nectar emanating from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. What is that nectar that emanates from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani? Braja Prem. That's how it will happen. So the process, actually it's a matter of the process. We don't meditate. That's not our process. But active devotional service. How? Service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In which manner? Dasyavas.
No people
use if one wants to become a tree, he can do that. It's, again, another point is, it's not a matter of what we want to be. It's a matter of what Krishna wants us to be. That is the difference between material and spiritual. In the material nature, we want to be something. But in the spiritual context, what Krishna wants us to be, that's what matters. Okay, make it a point now, when you hand over the mic, although you switch it off, when you hand over the mic, you switch it on and hand it over. And because since you switched off, you know how to switch on. But the other person may not know how to switch on. He is indirectly, but our desires are up to us. Krishna is not saying, okay, you desire this way, you desire that way. No. He gave us the independence to desire ourselves what we want. He has given us the freedom. Yeah, there is one consideration of knowing him tattata as he is, but the consideration actually is that love is more important than knowledge. So Krishna is saying, those who love me, knowledge is important, but even more important than knowledge is love. And one who has developed love for Krishna, he is considered to be the best devotee of Krishna, by Krishna. Mukunda Hari, who can ask?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So, one of the emotionalities we just mentioned was the building network. Recently we were studying the Akhil Prabhupada Center, and in India,
Yeah, Krishna is saying, building temple. Don't build temples, no. Dada, the one of the angas is to build a temple. By building a temple or helping build a temple, you receive a lot of favor from Krishna. So when I build the next temple, I'll let you know. Say it again.
Self-realization.
Yeah. Right. Can you see yourself in a dark room with a firefight going around? But when the sun comes up, do you get to see yourself? So our endeavor to know ourselves, a life trying to see ourselves with a firefly's light. Right? But real self-realization comes when Krishna dawns in our heart. Then in the light of Krishna we see Krishna, in that light we see ourselves and we see everyone else. So that is the real self-realization.
Hare Krishna. I want to ask one question. You told it. It doesn't matter why the body forms Krishna. It matters why Krishna wants. Just why Krishna wants.
Krishna wants you to become his devotee. Okay? That's all Krishna wants. There are some hands here. Okay. Yeah. The thing is, eternally here means for a long, long time. Here eternal doesn't mean forever. And in this context, Prabhupada also said that the cause of our conditioning, the cause of our fall down to the material nature is in the spiritual sky, where the concept of time is eternal. But Krishna himself is saying here that a living entity from conditioned stage can become liberated. So obviously it doesn't mean that one who is conditioned is forever conditioned. You get my point?
So there is a difference between conditioned soul and eternally conditioned soul.
The expression is used as eternally conditioned and eternally liberated. Right? But the conditioned soul can become liberated. And when you become liberated, then you don't want to be conditioned, because once bitten, twice shy. When you have gone through this experience, do you want to come back again? Huh? So.
So, my role is just possible. What is the term by subconsciousness? Because we talk about consciousness. But there are times we hear about subconsciousness where all our activities and desires are registered. It seems that what takes us to our next life, where is that being?
That is just a modern psychological concept. In Vedic context, there is no expression as subconscious. We can consider who? Subconscious, as I said, like in the Vedic concept context, there is nothing, no such expression as subconscious. It's a modern psychological expression. But we can understand it. You see, the consciousness, when it is active in certain point, that is conscious. But when some memories are there, that is not actually subconscious, that is the memory. So memory is vast. And the consciousness can be projected onto different aspects of the memory. So what is stored there can be considered as subconscious. Right? So that's what modern psychology considers subconscious. So here we have to understand that the mood of devotion in Dwarka is in Shanta and Dasyaras. So that becomes many, although they are exalted devotees in Dwarka, but Vrindavan is so exalted that this most exalted devotees of Dwarka desire to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, because they simply want to have the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. So that is the main consideration. Like, and they become free because, you see, they are not actively involved in serving Krishna in one of those mellows. This predominating mellow in Dwarka is Dasyaras. Although Uddhava is a friend, but this friendship is in predominated by servitorship. Whereas Vrindavan, there is pure devotee, pure Dasyara, pure Sakkaras. Uddhava is a friend of Krishna, but Uddhava will never dare to put his foot on Krishna's body. But in Vrindavan, the friends, when they wrestle with Krishna, and the condition is that the loser will carry the winner on his back, and when Krishna loses and the winner friend wants Krishna to carry him, Krishna refuses, saying, "No, you did not defeat me. I slipped on a banana peel and you pounced on me." And then the friend says, "No, Krishna, after such a lot of struggle, I defeated you, and now you're saying that you won't carry me." Saying that, he forces his way onto Krishna's back. So when one forces his way on Krishna's back, then he actually puts his foot on Krishna's body. That Uddhava will not dare to do. So that is the difference. Okay, Radhapad had a question from before. Give it. He is the active principle of everything. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you can indulge in objects of the senses with Krishna in the center, that's wonderful. Do that. Right? I mean, the thing is that you're seeing the objects of the senses, but, I mean, he is the essential predominating factor. But see him in that way. Right?
As you mentioned that we should not go after the food or go to the Lord, which is taken by someone else or taken by someone else. But sometimes when you buy some food, something from market outside, it might be taken, but you can enter the path also from some other person. So we are purchasing the food and all. And we are purchasing it from another person, like a different person. In that case, what we should do?
Yeah, better is not to. Like, prepare fresh food for Krishna and offer.
Yes, I'm saying that I'm not food, especially if food from
I'm saying, if you become that conscious, then don't do it. But if you can't, then okay, it's alright. Okay? Like, if you at least, you know, offer. Express your gratitude to Krishna that He so mercifully has given it to you. But in the temple, when you are offering, it is better to prepare everything in the temple. I would suggest even sweets we don't buy from outside. Yes, Lila Madhavi and then Jamuna Priya. The modes are already there. Modes are there with the material nature. Gunamai, Daivi Hesha, Gunamai. The material nature is endowed with this mode. But our actions are taking place due to our consciousness in these modes. Like, or we can say, the modes that are influencing us, we act accordingly. For example, one person is crossing the road and a bicycle comes and hits him. Now, one person, after being hit, starts to cry. Another person, after being hit, he just gets up, punches the cyclist. And another person, after being hit, just gets up, dusts and he tells the cyclist, "Don't worry, it was my fault. I should have actually checked before crossing the road." Is it possible that three different people will react in three different ways? Now the person who starts to cry, no mode of ignorance. The person who gets up and bashes the other guy, mode of passion. And the third person is in the mode of goodness. So you see, same action making different people act in different ways. Right? Because of the predominating modes in them. Our consciousness with our subtle setup of our subtle body. It is the, you see, the, what is influencing us, our karmic reactions, according to the mode. Refer to Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa. Everything is happening according to guna and karma. You act in the mode of goodness, the reaction will be in the goodness. You act in mode of passion, the reaction will be in the mode of passion. So forth.
I have one more question from today's afternoon session. Sorry, I'm losing my head. Perhaps you mentioned how the subtle body is carrying the soul. And the mind, that one carrying, the subtle body is carrying the soul to the next destination. So Maharaj, sorry if this is an old question, but I've always wondered that people who are mentally not well, though they may be in Krishna consciousness, but they have a mental, some handicap there, what is their situation?
That's why it is said that those who receive devotional service, those who respond to devotional service, those who accept devotional service, they are extremely pious. It is due to their inconceivable good fortune that they have accepted it. They have come to this stage of devotional service. Right? It's not that by chance or by accident one becomes a devotee of Krishna. Japha japha gaura padara vinde vindit vinde to bhakti krita punna rashi. Punna means spicy. Rashi means heaps of spice activity. So this attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a result of our heaps of spice activities. Okay? Thank you. So there are some questions here. Let me see. There is one from the internet. Nagaraj Das. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj. My question is, what is the symptom of a Jivan Mukta? The symptom of a Jivan Mukta is that although he is in his material body, but he is perfectly spiritually situated. He is perfectly situated in the spiritual identity. He is not identifying himself with his body. He is identifying himself with his spiritual identity. He is not functioning according to the needs of his body. He is functioning simply to please Krishna all the time. That is the sign of a Jivan Mukta. As we can say, Iha Yasya Harir Dasya. Harir Dasya means Hare means of Hari. Dasya means servitorship. Karmana Manasa Gira. His activities, Karmana Manasa, his activities of his mind, and Gira, his speech, is always engaged in serving Krishna. So that is the symptom of a Jivan Mukta. Nikilashyapi avasthasu Jivan Mukta sa uchyati. Why we see dream? Is there any relation with soul? No, dream doesn't. This is from Anil Gauranga. The dreams are not related to your soul. The dreams are related to your mind. The dreams are related to your subtle body. Where is Anil Gauranga? Pucha ke nahi, mic to tha wahan. Sharmata hai. You see, when the body is asleep, when the body is inactive, then that is the sleep stage. The gross body is inactive, but the subtle body is active, that is the dream stage. Samjha? Sthula sharir hai aur shukshma sharir. Do sharir hai na? Wo to pata hai na? Acha. Jab sthula sharir nishkriya ho jata hai, तब हम सो जाते हैं. लेकिन स्थूल शरीर निष्क्रिय हो गया, परंतु सूक्ष्म शरीर सक्रिय है. तो सूक्ष्म शरीर का जो कार्य है, अर्थात मन का जो कार्य है, वो है सपना, ड्रीम. This is from Rajeshwar Das. Where is Rajeshwar Das? Why, we also didn't ask the question. How to serve? What is the spelling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Tum likha hai? Chaitanya banam ke spelling kaisa hai? Chai, chai kaise hota hai? Then? Okay. Theek hai, I missing hai yahan. Isliye main bola. Aur Bhagwan ka naam jab likhte ho, to capital C hoga. Capital letter hoga. Chaitanya C capital hoga, Mahaprabhu M capital letter. How to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras? How to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras? Become a Das of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhuji, main hu Das Tuhara. Ye bhavna lekar serving, that is serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasya Ras. This is from Ankit Jadav. Maharaj, we understand and have sometime experienced also that trying to enjoy material nature leads to miseries. But when we go back or are out of devotee association, even if for a very short time, a desire develops to enjoy, to get temporary pleasure. And it seems unavoidable not to get allured. Maharaj, what should be done in such situation? Good question of a very complex situation, but I have a very simple answer. Always stay in the association of devotees. Always stay in the association of devotees. Okay, you may say, Maharaj, it's not always possible to stay with the devotees. Then I will say, always carry Prabhupada's books with you. And whenever such a situation arises, when you are going to be allured for sense gratification, just open up Prabhupada's book and start reading. Okay, if that is also not possible, then carry your big bag with you all the time. And whenever such situation arises, just take your big bag and start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Now I have to go to another program. It has been arranged by some local well-wishers of ours, especially by meeting with a very close well-wisher and a friend. So Nitin arranged this, so I couldn't say no. I did say to Bimal Krishna, I said no, but Nitin would not listen to me. Anyway, so I'm going, that's why we had the program 1 hour earlier today. And Nitin also told that they have arranged a bus. One bus, what is the capacity? 35. Okay. So let's see if anybody wants to go to this program. Okay, run to the bus. The first 35 devotees will be allowed to go, and ladies first. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.